Good morning, I'm Barbara Hopter.
And I'm Bob Edwards. A House subcommittee holds a field hearing in San Diego today on the food stamp workfare program.
11th hour politics in Kentucky and Mississippi, both states electing governors tomorrow.
And in Sanford, Florida today, the Golden Age Olympics, in which the old folks show us they're not so old after all. The events include track and field, tennis, and bicycle races. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition.
Good morning, I'm Carl Castle. Two men have pleaded innocent to murdering Earl Mountbatten of Burma, a cousin of Britain's Queen Elizabeth. The murder took place this past summer. The prosecutor, in a guarded courtroom in Dublin, said the evidence was circumstantial, but that forensic detail would prove that the two men placed a bomb aboard the boat the night before the explosion that took the Earl's life. More from Philip Whitfield in London.
The two men charged with the murder were arrested by police at least 80 miles from the scene of the explosion, 2 hours before Earl Mountbatten's boat was blown up. Thomas McMahon, who is 31, and Francis McGurl, who is 24, both from the Republic, have been in custody ever since. Their trial is being held at the Republic's Special Criminal Court, which was established in 1972 to try serious criminal offences in front of three judges. Nearly 90 witnesses are expected to be called, but none of the survivors, nor any member of the Mountbatten household, will be called to give an account of that fateful day. A tight security operation has already begun outside the court in the heart of Dublin's vegetable market and involves armed troops who will be on duty for the 3 weeks the trial is expected to last.
That report from the BBC's Philip Whitfield. James Earl Ray tried to escape again today from Bushy Mountain Prison in eastern Tennessee. The convicted killer of Martin Luther King Jr. was recaptured inside the prison grounds, but outside the building in which he was being held. One other inmate took part in the attempt. He, too, was recaptured. A prison official says the two men made their way from the building by sawing through a vent and a set of bars. When they reached the ground outside the building, they were spotted and recaptured. President Carter signed the standby gasoline rationing bill today. The legislation gives Mr. Carter the authority to draft a plan to be used in case gasoline supplies drop 20% below demand.
I'm very grateful to have the opportunity as president now to evolve a gas and diesel fuel rationing proposal, which will be presented to the Congress and to the public over the next few months. This is an important responsibility. Charlie Duncan, the Secretary of Energy, is here. It'll primarily be his department which will build on the previous proposal and to provide additions or corrections to it to accommodate the desires of the American people as expressed by the Congress. This has not been an easy piece of legislation to pass.
At the signing ceremony in the White House, the President made another appeal for his Energy Security Corporation, which he says is needed if the country is to prevent a handful of oil companies from dominating production of synthetic fuels. President Carter is keeping informed on the situation at the American Embassy in Tehran. The compound was taken over Saturday by more than 400 students demanding the return of the Shah, who was in a New York hospital for cancer treatment. Today, the students said they will not give up their hostages until the Shah is returned. In addition, they ask that diplomatic relations with the United States be broken. A federal judge in Boston has refused to stop tomorrow's sale of offshore oil leases in the Georges Bank area off the coast of New England. The states of Massachusetts and Maine had contended that there are not enough safeguards against oil spills which could devastate fishing and tourist industries along the New England coast. Judge John McNaught said the government had taken the proper steps in planning the sale. America's U.N. Ambassador Donald McHenry says efforts should continue to bring Israelis and Palestinians to the bargaining table. Speaking to an NAACP dinner in St. Louis last night, he said that peace in the Middle East can be achieved only through the consideration of the full and legitimate rights of the Palestinians. But he said the U.S. commitment to Israel must be maintained and not diminished. McHenry said the first step necessary for any progress is for both sides to give up violence. The South Korean parliament met for a short while today for the first time since the assassination of President Park Chung-hee and then adjourned for 9 days for a political cooling-off period. There has been much political maneuvering in the past few days with a demand by an important opposition leader for popular presidential elections. The Constitution calls for presidential election by electoral college. Kim Yong-sam wants that change. He was ousted from the South Korean parliament last month for defying the Constitution. I'm Carl Castle in Washington.